booster for your morning. All the news you need to know. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Well, good morning. Happy Friday Eve. This is the WABC Early News. I'm Frank Morano.
Hello, Frank Morano. Good to talk with you. And let's get right to the news. Here are the top five at five.
This is the top five at five.
As promised yesterday, New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio announced that he is extending the vaccine mandate now to all public employees, and there will be no test out option. So this means police, firefighters, everyone has to get their shots or they will be placed on unpaid leave. Now, one bonus, apparently, Frank, I know you love this. They'll receive $500 in their paychecks starting Wednesday if they get their first shot at a city-run vaccination site, the NYPD's largest union vowing to block it.
With early voting set to begin this weekend, the two men running to become the next mayor of New York did square off, in their first debate last night. Brooklyn Borough President Eric Adams, a Democrat who's heavily favored, faced off against Republican challenger Curtis Sliwa. Curtis spent a fair amount of time focusing on his plan to combat mental illness.
We can't let the state off the hook. Governor Hochul taking over for Cuomo, when he came into office, it was 30,000 psychiatric
beds. Are you saying the standard should be changed? Are you saying the standard should be changed under the state law?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Two psychiatrists.
Thank you.
And then a 90-day
Mr. Adams.
Period.
Well, human remains have been found in the hunt for fugitive Brian Laundrie. He is, of course, the fiance of the murdered Gabby Petito. This is the first time that the FBI has said she has been murdered. Apparently, the discovery was made on a path that Laundrie used to take frequently at that Carlton Reserve in Florida near his home. Apparently, they found some articles of his clothing there in a portion of the park that had previously been underwater. They also found body parts. The word is that this is highly likely that it is his body. The Sarasota Medical Examiner's office is dealing with what they have found.
An Arizona senator is holding up President Biden's spending plan. Democrats want to pass it this week, but Kyrsten Sinema is against one way to pay for it. She doesn't want taxes raised for the wealthy and corporations, so the Senate is coming up with a workaround.
And not the best news if you were hoping for an extended fall. La Nina is back in the Pacific Ocean, the weather system returning for a second consecutive year. And that means really strong winds blowing east to west are cooling the Pacific Ocean. Consequently, that means that the likelihood that things here will get cold sooner than usual is pretty high. Also, some rainstorms in the northwest, dry conditions in the southwest, and a whole lot of snow for us. And those are your top five at five. Coming up, we have sports with Matt Sapienza, traffic and weather, and your history hit as well.
What's trending?
Here is what's trending first, though, around the world. The White House released its plans to vaccinate America's children. These are the children ages 5 to 11. The FDA is expected to decide whether to authorize the Pfizer shot sometime in the next week, but the Biden administration wants to be ready from the jump. Officials say that they'll be using smaller needles, so kids will find that hopefully more tolerable, that kids will also be able to get their jabs at their pediatrician's office, but there will be vaccination sites set up at children's hospitals on nights and on weekends. And, sorry about that, President Biden, speaking of, is set to recommend boosters for people under 65. We're talking about the Moderna and the J&J shots. CNN is reporting that the FDA had been starting to fret just a bit over the increasing number of hospitalizations among the vaccinated. So the White House reportedly plans on recommending booster shots for people under the age of 65, as young as 40 maybe. They're now recommending those over 65 or at high risk get the Pfizer booster. The agency is also recommending the same for the Moderna and J&J jabs as well. Meantime, a recent National Institute of Health study showed getting a booster from a brand different from your actual original booster is more effective, interestingly. And former President Donald Trump is facing yet another criminal probe, this time by Westchester County DA Mimi Rocha. This is over his golf club and taxes. It's yet another day, another Trump lawsuit. apparently they're investigating the Trump National Golf Club up there in Ossining, New York, for trying to lower tax bills with misleading property values. For instance, in the same year, the Trump Organization attorneys valued the course as less than $2 million, which sounds insane to me. Trump himself estimated it to be worth $50 million on federal disclosure forms. A spokesperson for the Trump Organization said the probe was the continuation of a, quote, witch hunt against the former president. And more troubling news for the current administration. A new poll shows President Biden's support is dropping among independents, so much so that if the election was held today, he and former President Donald Trump would be essentially neck and neck. I got to tell you, I'm an independent, and this does not surprise me at all. The Grinnell College National Poll has Biden at just 28%, a huge drop from the 58% he garnered at the time of the election. In general, his approval rating is hovering around 37%. When it comes to specifics, he's not doing much better. Only 38% of those polled give the economy a thumbs up. A measly 27% approve of how he's handling migration. And Frank, I just completely went off the rails and did all my stories. Sorry.
Hey, well, that's okay. I've got plenty of stories to make up for it coming up in just a few minutes. We'll also tell you what you can expect in terms of weather today. Beautiful weather yesterday. Hopefully today we see something similar.
All right, 5:08 right now, and let's get a check of the weather from the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center. Yesterday was such a beautiful day. Wow, we had sun, little clouds rolling in there just to get some shade. But if you actually sat in the sun directly, it was really nice. Today we're going to see pretty much a carbon copy of that. 75 degrees for a high, mostly sunny, very light winds, and pretty low humidity. It's not terrible, not great, about 59%. But that's, I'll take it. Tonight we're heading into the low 60s. We'll have some passing clouds. Tomorrow, Friday, looking at a nice day, sunny, maybe some afternoon clouds, but a high of just 70 degrees. On Saturday, we're looking at a high of just 59 degrees. We'll have cloudy skies early on. Then in the late morning and afternoon, we'll have clearing. It'll be a nice sunny day with low humidity. And Sunday's looking really nice as well. It's getting up there into the mid-60s, but we'll still see that sun and low humidity. Looking very, very nice for the weekend.
Well, right now, you don't care about it because you're going to be in Italy.
Well, I do care because my mom is here. She's got the dogs are being cared for. And so, yeah, I want everybody to enjoy their weekend, of course. Mm-hmm. But I will be in Italy. it's 62 degrees right now in New York City.
All right. Well, former New York Governor Andrew Cuomo's $5.1 million book deal still holds for now. The state's Ethics Commission came up one vote short of rescinding the deal for American Crisis Leadership Lessons from the COVID-19 Pandemic. Cuomo released the title last year and ran the risk of losing the money if he lost approval from the committee. Attorney General Letitia James' office is also looking into whether Cuomo misused state resources to write the book. Yesterday, Governor Cuomo, his spokesperson Rich Azzapardi, and his attorney Rita Glavin all took shots at Letitia James and her purported lack of independence during this investigation because, in their words, she stood to benefit politically from issuing a damaging report. Former President Trump is getting back on social media. Trump announced he will be launching his own social media network called Truth Social, which he explained is meant to, quote, stand up to the tyranny of big tech. He noted he's looking forward to sending out his first Truth on Truth Social very soon. Trump has been absent from major social media sites after getting suspended or banned following the January 6th attack on the Capitol. Speaking of former presidents, President Trump is not the only one making news. Former President Bill Clinton is telling Americans to keep an eye on their health. Clinton posted a video on Twitter to update everyone on his health, saying he's doing great and glad to be back home. The former chief executive said he's still recovering and urged his followers to take care of themselves. Clinton was discharged on Sunday after being admitted to a California hospital for sepsis last week. His doctor said the 75-year-old would finish recovering at home in New York. And a new report is warning people of the severe impact climate change is having on human health. The study released Wednesday in The Lancet says droughts will hurt food production, rising temperatures will aid in the spread of dangerous pathogens, and more violent natural disasters will put a bigger burden on healthcare systems. Report co-author and emergency medicine professor at the University of Washington, Dr. Jeremy Hess, says the world is missing an opportunity to invest in a healthier future. He believes the world needs to be investing more in a green recovery from the pandemic rather than continue to burn fossil fuels. And beware before eating onions. The CDC is telling shoppers to throw some away if they don't know where they're from. Red, white, and yellow onions imported from Mexico are linked to a growing salmonella outbreak. More than 650 people have gotten sick in 37 states so far. Wow.
Yikes.
Russia is warning that Afghanistan could face a refugee crisis if food and other support isn't sent over immediately. During talks in Moscow, 10 countries called for urgent humanitarian aid for Afghans. That includes Russia, China, Pakistan, India, and Iran. The group joined the Taliban in urging the United Nations to create a donor conference as soon as possible. That would help rebuild the country. The U.S. did not attend yesterday's talks, but the group says it should pay for reconstruction efforts along with other countries that withdrew troops. And speaking of the situation in the Middle East, a battle damage assessment is taking place after a drone attack targeted American service members in Syria. The attack happened yesterday at a U.S. base near Syria's border with Jordan. So far, there have been no reports of American casualties, thank goodness. Nobody has yet taken responsibility for the attack. And in something you may soon be hearing in an upcoming Jet Set Juliet travel report, Royal Caribbean... This is right up your alley. It's not only royal, but it's travel. Royal Caribbean.
That's a good one.
Thank you. Is announcing what it calls the ultimate world cruise, sailing to more than 150 destinations. Royal Caribbean's Serenade of the Seas will set sail in 2023 on what the cruise line says will be the longest and most comprehensive world cruise lasting 9 months. The itinerary includes visits to 65 countries and all seven continents. The voyage will begin on December 10th, 2023 and wrap up in Miami on September 10th, 2024. Rates start at, what do you think, Juliet?
$120,000.
Oh, no, you could get two tickets for that much. Oh. Rates start at $61,000 plus taxes and fees.
Yeah, but that's probably for like one of the indoor rooms, cabins that don't have a window.
But still, it's a nine-month vacation.
Yeah, but you want to look out the window. You don't always want to be out, you know, gallivanting in the on the promenade.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
How much is it to sail coach?
Well, I think that's the kind of $61,000 is probably steerage, as Juliet is talking about. All right. 5:15, let's get a look at traffic and let's get a look at sports on the eve of a big sports weekend with Matt Sapienza.
Yep, let's play ball. Good morning, everybody. Julius Randle scored 35 points. Evan Fournier made the go-ahead three-pointer in the second overtime and added 32 against his former team. And the New York Knicks outlasted Jaylen Brown and his Boston Celtics 138-134. Brown scored a career-high 46 points after overcoming a bout of COVID-19, and Jason Tatum had the biggest basket of his awful opener with a three-point play that gave Boston a 134-133 lead with a minute and 5 seconds remaining. Fournier then hit his fourth three-pointer of the overtime with 56 seconds to go, and Derrick Rose finished it off with a basket with 22 seconds to play as the Knicks finally put away a game they seemed to have won much earlier. The Celtics put together a push late in regulation of their first game under coach Ime Udoka, and Marcus Smart tied it with a three-pointer at the buzzer. RJ Barrett scored all of his 19 points after halftime, and Obi Toppin added a career-best 14 for the Knicks. And that's your sports at 15 and 45. Much more to come later on. I'm Matt Sapienza, WABC Early News.
Thank you,
hey,
Matt.
Hey, Frank, yes. Would you ever do one of those round-the-world cruises?
I think so. You know, I can't,
I would love that.
You know, I can't picture sort of taking off from... from all of my lively responsibilities for 9 months. You know, I enjoy being on the radio and enjoy working. I enjoy, you know, seeing everybody and doing all the things that I like to do. And basically, you put your whole life on hold for 9 months.
Well, no, your whole life is moving forward because you're seeing all of these incredible places and you're experiencing the world. I mean, who wants to die at the end of,
you're right. You're right.
I never saw the rest of the world. I don't know.
I love the idea, of this. I don't know that, you know, maybe I'll explore this on the other side of midnight, tomorrow morning.
Good idea.
And see what callers have to say. I like the idea of visiting all seven continents and seeing all these countries. I also have to think that 9 months on a cruise ship, it would get pretty monotonous, the menu and stuff on the dining room.
Perhaps, but you know, by the same token, you're still getting off in all of these different places where you can spend some time. I mean, you're not just showing up to a port like it is on a 12-day Mediterranean cruise where you show up at 9 a.m. and you have to get back on the ship by 5. I mean, you get to spend overnights there. Mark Twain did this. And
For nine months?
I think it was even, might have been longer, but I read the book and it was so interesting. I just thought this would be the coolest thing to do.
Joe Nolan, what about you? 9 months on a cruise around the world, would you do it?
I'm kind of like you, Frank. I mean, it sounds like a wonderful adventure, but I don't know.
I'd be more apt to do a New York to L.A. like train trip or even a drive with some friends. You know,
I'd
be kind of more my speed, I think.
I'd like to go through the Panama Canal and do that. I think that'd be awesome. You know, but I mean, I don't know.
I think our sales team's working on a Frank and Juliet trip for listeners. Hopefully you can come on that as well, Joe.
Oh, I will definitely go on that. Are you kidding me?
Great.
Oh, my God. That'd be great. From the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center, we're looking at a nice day, 75 degrees for a high and lots of sun. Tomorrow, we're dipping down just a bit to 70 degrees to start the weekend off, but we will have sunny skies and low humidity. Looks really nice. Saturday, though, we get pretty low. We're getting into the high 50s. Looks like it's going to be cloudy in the morning with clearing skies in the afternoon. So the sun will come out eventually on Saturday and Sundays, looking a little bit warmer. We'll get up to about mid-60s with some sun and a few clouds. Currently, the temperature in New York City is 62 degrees.
And now, it's Huddy's History Hit.
Yes, it is. On this day, October 21st, 1805, the Battle of Trafalgar. Napoleon had been gunning for England. So the French and the Spanish fleets combined to take control of the English Channel to make sure that Napoleon's Grande Armée could get through safely. The two sides, meaning the Brits and the combined forces of the French and Spanish, met off the coast of Spain, Cadiz in southern Spain, on October 18th. The Brits, under Admiral Lord Nelson, were totally outnumbered, but Nelson was brilliant and he had this plan to split the fleets, and it worked. Although Nelson's own ship, the HMS Victory, was hit and hit pretty badly. He was actually shot by a French musketeer. And the reason that he was shot, well, the reason it happened so easily was because Nelson was wearing his decked out coat with all the patches and the medals and everything, which was like, it was basically like a beacon. It was really easily visible. Nelson became, of course, a legend, and the victory itself confirmed Britain's naval supremacy. And by the way, if you're interested in love stories that have to do with some of these brilliant admirals and leaders and kings and stuff like that, it's a great love story between Admiral Nelson and Emma Hamilton. So if you're interested in that, I can tweet you some of the books that I've read about that. And that's your history hit for today.
Neat.
Yeah. All right. We're going to get back to some headlines. Days after China reportedly launched a new type of supersonic evasive missile, a New York Republican is calling on the president to get tough. Representative John Katko is the top Republican on the Homeland Security Committee. He represents the Syracuse area. And he said yesterday that hypersonic weapons would give Beijing nuclear parity with Washington. He says, look, the time is now to fix the administration's, quote, weak, spineless reputation on the world stage. And down in Florida, Nicholas Cruz pleads guilty. He is the gunman, of course, who massacred 17 people at a Florida school. He faces a minimum of life in prison and a maximum of the death penalty. The 23-year-old appeared in court yesterday. He answered questions from the judge. He admitted that he was feeling anxiety, but he said he understood what was happening. He also did apologize to the families of the victims of that Valentine's Day shooting at Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School. It was one of the deadliest school shootings in U.S. history. And an update on the SEPTA rapist. We're finding out more about the guy accused of raping a woman on that train in Philly. Officials say he is an illegal immigrant from Congo who has already managed to rack up multiple sex abuse and drug charges. Apparently, he overstayed a student visa back in 2015, and he wasn't deported even after those criminal convictions, which mind-blowing. The rape, of course, happening in front of multiple bystanders, none of whom called 911 or helped, but they did manage to pull out their cell phones to shoot the crime going down. And by the way, some of the officials down there in Philadelphia say it's not likely that these people will be charged with any crime. And finally, another hateful racist Karen has crawled out of her gutter to make a scene here in New York City. And of course, folks grabbed those cell phones and they started recording. It's a little tough to hear, but the racist woman yells slurs at an Asian customer outside Empanada Mama on 9th Avenue, which is a great place, by the way. Apparently, the woman had also been seen verbally abusing people earlier at an ice cream shop. The Daily Mail reporting the woman as Brittany Ortiz, who was allegedly drunk and disrespectful to staff as well. Listen.
What are you going to do, record it? You're all 700 pounds. Nobody can. Getting ice cream. You're a lesbian, and you're all 700 pounds getting ice cream.
Oh, wow. She's...
Oh,
wow.
That was obviously the ice cream store, and it definitely was a lot worse. I mean, we didn't want to play the racist insults, but, you know, it's a great thing, those cell phone videos. It really just exposes a lot of people that should be exposed.
Oh, sounds like a real winner. Elon Musk could become the world's first trillionaire. The Tesla CEO is currently worth over $220 billion. Now, investment firm Morgan Stanley is predicting that Musk could eventually be worth over $1 trillion, though not from Tesla, but from his other company, SpaceX. Tesla's net worth is about 30 times greater than that of SpaceX, but Morgan Stanley says the SpaceX reusable Starship rockets have the potential to transform investor expectations about the space industry. One analyst for the firm said, talking about space before Starship is like talking about the internet before Google. So, well on his way.
Wow, that is just kind of mind-blowing and nauseating all at the same time.
It's something.
All right, so let's get into some entertainment, shall we?
This is the 77 WABC Entertainment Report.
Ooh, very serious. Well, we're going to talk about the greatest 100 TV shows of the past 20 years. I guess you could say of the 21st century. The list is out. Now, it comes from BBC Culture, but we were discussing it during Frank's show, The Other Side of Midnight, a little while ago. Number one on the list is The Wire, which aired from 2002 to 2008. Now, I definitely think The Wire was one of the greatest shows of all time, and I'm glad to see it's up there on the list. I don't know if I would have put, I think I would have put Homeland as number one on the list, but The Wire definitely would have been in the top five. I would have put Game of Thrones number two, and that was five on the list. And I think I might put Succession as number three, and that is 10th on the list, Frank. What are you thinking about this whole list?
I have not seen The Wire, so I can't speak to that. I've heard it's great. I haven't seen Game of Thrones, so I'm not coming from an educated place. I love Breaking Bad, love Mad Men. I was happy to see both of them rank so high. I really enjoyed Homeland, loved House of Cards, particularly the early seasons. And I was pleased to see a couple of my favorite comedies, Curb Your Enthusiasm and Veep, rank so highly. The thing I wonder about this list is, like, there's some shows on here, Arrested Development, for instance, that are so good at the beginning of their run and then so mediocre to bad towards the end of their run. And I just wonder how these critics take that into account, a degradation in quality.
Well, I think it's just a matter of people, how many people say that the show was great. I mean, I admit that Homeland was a little bit mediocre towards the middle and end, but still those first couple seasons, I think, were some of the best, well, were the best television that I've ever seen. But anyway, let's hear what you guys have to think. You can tweet us at Jet Set Juliet or at Frank Morano. And one more quick thing. Justin Timberlake is bringing sexy back to the nightlife world. The performer's brand new multi-level club, the 1230 Club in Nashville, is a showstopper. Part of it is already open. On the ground floor, it's a honky-tonk. Upstairs on a mezzanine level, it's a 50-person cocktail lounge accessed, I'm told, by a stunning centerpiece staircase. And now word is that he's going to be opening another space on the second floor, complete with a rooftop bar. Insiders say it's a modern take, Frank, you're going to love this, on a classic 19th century supper club.
Oh.
And I posted some pics, yeah, on my Twitter at Jets at Juliet. This looks so nice. That's definitely a place that I'd like to check out.
I do like that, actually.
Yeah, we should go down there. We should definitely go down there, do a little trip with the baby. When you hatch.
Sounds pretty good. Sounds pretty good. It's funny. I just realized you're leaving for Italy today or tomorrow?
Today.
Today. You know where I was a year ago today?
Where?
Or actually 2 years ago today. I was in Rome 2 years ago
today.
Were
you really?
Yeah, it's so funny that we were there both in October.
Entertaining and informative. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Thank you very much, Felix. Welcome back. I'm Juliet Huddy. Frank joins us in just a second. Coming up, we have BizBuzz, Frank's BizBuzz, which is telling us what's happening in the business world. And in your Jet Set Juliet travel update, the final part of my series on the best cities in Europe now. This is according to the readers of Travel and Leisure, so we'll get to that momentarily. But first, it's your top five at 5:30. As promised yesterday, New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio announced that he is extending the vaccine mandate now to all public employees, and there will be no test out options. So this means police, firefighters, you all have to get your shots or you will be placed on unpaid leave. There is a bonus here that you will receive $500 in your paychecks starting Wednesday if you get your first shot at a city-run vaccination site. The NYPD's largest union is vowing to fight back.
Yesterday was the first debate between Democrat Eric Adams, who was facing off in the race for mayor, against Republican Curtis Sliwa. Early voting in the contest starts on Saturday, and the two men wasted no time going at one another, and there were some stark differences, including on the issue of sanctuary cities. Here was Eric Adams.
Yes, we should. We should protect our immigrants during the COVID. Our immigrants stayed. They provided a service for the city, and I believe we need to continue to make sure this is a sanctuary city.
And, well, it's looking pretty grim for the Laundrie family. Apparently, there are human remains that have been found in the hunt for fugitive Brian Laundrie, who is, of course, the 23-year-old fiancé of the murdered Gabby Petito. He has been on the run for about 5 weeks. Apparently, in this alligator-infested Florida swamp, there have been remains and also some pieces of some articles, I guess they're saying, that belonged to Brian Laundrie, according to his parents. So the coroner is checking this out, and we should get some confirmation probably within the next day or so. But again, belongings and apparently human remains found in that area where Brian Laundrie was believed to have been hiding out.
An Arizona senator seems to be holding up President Biden's spending plan. Democrats want to pass it by the end of the week, but Kyrsten Sinema is against one way to pay for it. She doesn't want taxes raised for the wealthy and corporations. The Senate's now trying to work around her opposition so they can present the framework for the bill. But House Democrats say it's unclear if they can even pass a bill that doesn't raise tax rates.
And not the best news if you were hoping for an extended fall. La Nina is back in the Pacific Ocean. This is a weather system that has returned now. This is a second consecutive year, and that means really strong winds blowing east to west, which means the Pacific Ocean is cooling, which means the likelihood that things here are going to get colder sooner than usual. There'll be lots of rainstorms in the northwest, dry conditions in the southwest, and a whole lot of snow for us. And those are your top five at five. Now let's get into some other headlines. Frank, ouch. Dr. Dre has been in a very messy breakup, if you've been following this at all, with his longtime ex, Nicole Young. But the stakes just got a little higher and certainly a little uglier. The rap mogul was recently served with divorce papers while he was at his grandmother's funeral. That's pretty low. TMZ claims he was graveside when agents working on behalf of Young served him. That's just beyond the pale. The two were officially divorced in June after more than 20 years of marriage, but they have been in protracted battles over finances. So I guess, yikes, I guess it's gotten pretty ugly. And the Queen has canceled a trip, and this is a big deal. Royal watchers are becoming very fretful these last few days. Earlier this week, Queen Elizabeth II made the rare decision to cancel an engagement Her Majesty was supposed to head up to Northern Ireland along with British Prime Minister Boris Johnson, but was advised by doctors to stay home and rest for a bit. The 95-year-old was seen last week walking with a cane, and that is unusual. She was walking with a cane for the first time in 17 years during an event at Westminster Abbey. Sources tell CNN the monarch's health issues are not COVID-related, but they would not go any further. And this is a great story. I love this one. Apparently, according to some new analysis, the Vikings, and this was thought to be accurate a while back, but they're starting to find evidence that proves that the Vikings beat Christopher Columbus to the Americas by 471 years, Frank. Apparently, a new study claims that Scandinavian warriors arrived 1,000 years ago, way before Christopher Columbus showed up. And apparently they have been testing wooden artifacts in Canada, and those artifacts show that the Vikings were here again 1,000 years ago. Columbus landed in the New World in 1492, so that would beat them by 471 years. So,
well, it seems like we should rename Columbus Day Viking Day instead of Indigenous Peoples Day, then, right?
I mean, we need to name Columbus, Ohio, Viking, Ohio, or, you know, Sven, Ohio.
Leif Erikson, Ohio. Yeah.
Exactly. All
the
right.
Viking China. Buckeyes.
Right. Yeah, you go. Exactly.
Biz Buzz.
Whoa, I thought we were doing weather, but let's do Biz Buzz. That's the weather's going to be nice. I'll just leave it at that.
Wonderful. Great. We'll look forward to hearing how nice shortly. The opening bell rings this morning on Wall Street after stocks closed the day mixed with the Dow Jones Industrial Average hitting a new all-time high before the closing bell. Investors were happy with better-than-expected third-quarter earnings reports and a new record high for Bitcoin. Verizon was the biggest of the gainers on the Dow as it jumped more than 2% after earnings came in above expectations. At the closing bell, the Dow gained 152 points, the S&P 500 grew by 16 points, and the NASDAQ fell by 7 points. President Biden is pushing his Build Back Better agenda in Pennsylvania. Speaking in his hometown of Scranton yesterday, Biden argued the bipartisan infrastructure package and larger spending plan have nothing to do with what side of the aisle you stand on. He insisted the measures won't increase the deficit and are fully paid for. U.S. Agriculture Secretary and former Iowa Governor Tom Vilsack has paid a visit to striking John Deere workers in Iowa. Vilsack told United Auto Workers Union members he's thankful for their support and wants to repay that support. A new report says PayPal may buy Pinterest. In their report, Bloomberg cites those with knowledge of what's being discussed. Talks have centered around a price of about $70 a share. Pinterest is a platform designed to share ideas and inspiration on a number of topics. The company's stock surged more than 10% following the news. Juliet?
Thank you very much, sir. Just a real quick weather update for you. Going to be a nice day, 75 degrees, mostly sunny. Tomorrow, as we head into the weekend, we're going to drop down to 70 degrees, but we will see lots of sun. And Saturday, it looks chilly, 59 degrees for a high with cloudy skies early, followed by partial clearing in the afternoon. Sunday, wrapping the weekend up nicely with 64 degrees and lots of sun. Currently, the temperature right now in New York City is 62 degrees. And it's time now at 540 for your Jet Set Juliet travel update. And today is the conclusion of my series inspired by Travel and Leisure magazine, which is one of the greatest magazines. I love it. Travel magazines. Their readers vote every year on the best of. And for the last 3 days, I've focused on the best cities in the world as voted on by the magazine's readers. Number one in the U.S. was the charming southern city of Charleston, South Carolina. Number one in Mexico was the sleeper hit of the country, San Miguel de Allende. Number one in Canada is the city that oozes French sophistication, Quebec City. And now we head to my favorite place in the world, Europe, starting with number five. So these are the top five best cities in Europe, and we begin with San Sebastian, Spain. This is in the Basque region, which is the northern part of the country. Readers love the area's strong cultural traditions. It's a pretty small city, only about 200,000 or so, but it's a power player when it comes to cuisine. This is the place to go for foodies. It has the second most Michelin stars in the world. Its two main beaches are world famous, and they're surrounded by a promenade that ticks off all of the boxes. It's, you know, bars and restaurants and boutiques. It's got a ton of history, and any town with cobblestone streets is frankly great in my book. Number four, Roma, where Mr. Murano was a year ago. I love this city. And apparently travel and leisure leaders do too. Mm. You're constantly blown away by what you're looking at. Around every corner, there's something older and more historic and more mind-blowing than the previous corner. And yeah, there are a lot of tourists, but it is a city that is truly spread out. So you don't have to be on top of visitors constantly. And if you just head out from the main piazzas, I mean, this is kind of true in any European city, head out from the main piazzas just a few hundred yards. You'll be bumping elbows with the locals, doing their daily shopping, drinking, socializing. And I have to say, the Italians are just amazing people. If you show them you're really interested in them and their culture, they will open out the welcome mats for you. Literally, the last time we were in Rome back in June, we were invited to a typical Italian lunch at the home of a restaurant owner that we'd met a few years before and we stayed in touch with. And I'm going to give you another example of this in just a minute. But first, number three on the list, Krakow, Poland. My people, travel and leisure executives say this is a great example of the lure of those formerly Eastern Bloc countries. There's so much more interest these days in visiting Central and Eastern Europe as the countries become a bit more westernized, a bit more contemporary, but without losing their mysterious kind of old Eastern Bloc vibe. Readers love Krakow's horse-drawn carriages in the old town. They love the music, they love the food, the architecture, and the street entertainment apparently stands out there. One voter said, you'll feel like you've stepped back in time and will be immediately drawn in. Now, later today, John and I are jumping on a plane and heading to Italy. This trip, it's Florence, Venice, and Milan. And speaking of, Florence is number two on the list. It's always either one or two on the list. This time, it's number two. And just to reiterate, the friendliness of the people here, it's just over the top. We met a guy back in June, a friend of our friend Silvio, who has this incredible bar and art gallery called the Arts Inn. Anyway, this friend, Andrea, and my husband talked for a long time one evening, and they exchanged social media information. And last week, Andrea called us to see if we'd like to go out to dinner when we're there. So he and his girlfriend are picking us up Saturday, and we're going up into the hills of Florence for a true Florentine dinner. That's just a few hours after we take a tour of the Palazzo Vecchio, the old palace down in the town. Florentine steak, lampredotto, sandwiches, art galleries, priceless sculptures, literally on the streets. This is one of the most elegant but welcoming cities in the world. And it just lost out to our number one best city in the world, Istanbul, Turkey. I have to say, I loved this city. I was there for 2 days, about 7 or 8 years ago. It's very mystical. It's very magical. A little unnerving, I have to say. You definitely feel like you're not in Kansas anymore. The forts, the churches turned to mosques. I mean, it's just got such an incredible history. And it's a bit jarring at first, I think, for some people when you get there and you hear the call to prayer, but it's really beautiful and it's very intriguing. You're in Asia in the afternoon and in Europe that night, or vice versa. I mean, it's a crossroads and a city that is the culmination of so many cultures. It was the capital for the Roman, the Byzantine and Ottoman empires, but it's very contemporary today. It has lots of culture and shopping and food and architecture. If you like being out of your comfort zone, this is the place. And clearly travel and leisure readers agree. Have you ever been to Istanbul, Frank?
No, but I've heard, in addition to what you just said, a lot of great things about it over the years.
Yeah, I mean, when I went there, it was a stop on a cruise, and this was just when ISIS first came out. So, you know, everybody was a little on edge. It was the first time that we'd heard of ISIS, really, and they had just beheaded a bunch of Australians. So we were all kind of like, oh, all right, let's go to Istanbul. It's, you know, predominantly Muslim country. But it was truly wonderful, and the people were very welcoming, I have to say. So it's an out-of-your-comfort-zone type of thing. But I definitely highly recommend it.
All right. Good to know. Well, that is the conclusion of a very, very comprehensive series.
Thank you very much. And I will be shooting in Florence and in Venice again. And we will get lots more content for this show that will someday air. Just essentially a travel show. It's being worked on.
Wonderful. I'll just leave it at that. I'm looking forward to seeing it. You'll have two Italy trips captured on this show, right?
Well, we're going to do several shows, but I think the stuff that I shot in Florence and in Venice last time we went, I think we're just kind of, I'm going to put that on my Instagram. Okay. And I'm just going to reduce. Yeah. Because, you know, it's going to be different weather. And,
sure.
And my whole idea for a travel show was kind of based on my experience in television. And I have to remember that we are at a radio station and I can't monopolize the time of the production people with like this, you know, crazy television stuff. So we're going to tone it down a bit.
5:45. Let's tone it up with Matt Sapienza and sports. What's happening, Matt?
All right, a lot, Frank, and good morning, everybody. Here's what's happening. Julius Randle scored 35 points. Evan Fournier made the go-ahead three-pointer in the second overtime and added 32 against his former team, and the New York Knicks outlasted Jaylen Brown and his Boston Celtics 138-134. Brown scored a career-high 46 points after overcoming a bout of COVID-19, and Jason Tatum had the biggest basket of his awful opener with a three-point play that gave Boston a 134-133 lead with a minute 5 remaining. Fournier then hit his fourth three-pointer of the overtimes with 56 seconds to go, and Derrick Rose finished it off with a basket with 22 seconds to play as the Knicks finally put a game away that they've seemed to win much earlier. In Boston, Framber Valdez lost his perfect game in the fifth inning, and then bounced the next pitch off the batter's leg. Perfect through four, Houston left-hander took a two-hit shutout into the seventh and became the first pitcher in this postseason to complete eight innings, leading the Astros to over Boston 9-1 for a 3-2 lead in the AL Championship Series. Yordan Alvarez had three hits and three RBIs for Houston, which could clinch a second World Series trip in 3 years with a victory at home on Friday night. The Red Sox need a win to force a deciding seventh game on Saturday. That's your sports at 15:45. I'm Matt Sapienza for the WABC Early News. Juliet, have fun in Italy.
Thank you, Matt. Thank you. I was looking in the mirror yesterday, doing my face washing and all that stuff, and I noticed my crow's feet are standing out a little, and I thought, man, I should have gone to see Jen at Dolce Aesthetics. Things around the Fetterusso house, whatever you want to call it, Hutterusso, have been so chaotic lately. I just really haven't had a lot of time to get over there. But the thing is, I don't understand this because now they're in Oceanside. So they're on Long Island. It was easy for me to get over there. And every time I leave Dolce Aesthetics, I always feel just rejuvenated. My skin, it looks better. It looks smoother. They do everything from Botox to fillers, cellulite reduction, laser hair removals. They do, things like just plain old facials, things to give your skin a perk and sort of a rejuvenation. And I'm telling you, it's such a good feeling. And you don't have to go crazy with the stuff. It's not like you have to look like, what's that woman? The cat lady. What do they call her? Wildenstein?
Yeah, Wildenstein.
No.
Right.
Yeah. We don't want to go that far, guys. We want to just make it natural, make it kind of, don't go too crazy with it. And Jen is really great about that. She listens to what you want and she gives you great information and all the people working there. I just always go to Jen. She's kind of the queen bee there at Dolce Aesthetics. If you guys are interested in, just kind of zhuzhing your face, as she likes to say, just getting it just nice and just, rejuvenated looking, really, this is the place to go. If you're looking to sculpt and mold your body, they have contouring treatments, butt lift treatments. I mean, all that type of stuff. Dolce Aesthetics NY. If you want to experience these results for yourself, text the word Dolce to 95000 and you'll get 10% off your next treatment. Again, visit them at dolceaestheticsny.com. That's Dolce aesthetics ny.
You know where I was for an hour yesterday?
Don't say that you were at Dolce.
I was.
For an hour? What do you do? You go there every week.
I go every 2 weeks. Crazy. I did the Glendale Queens one 2 weeks ago. Yesterday she wanted me in Bay Ridge. She wants me back one more time in 3 weeks in Howard Beach. Then I'll be done.
What are you doing?
Filler, Botox. You can't find a wrinkle. You can't find. My forehead was filled. It was like a Sharpay. You can't see anything now. Anything. She's done an incredible job. Incredible.
Yeah, she's a wizard. She is a wizard. So, all right. Well, good. Well, take a picture of yourself and send it over. Did you do it before and after?
Oh, yeah, of course we did. Yeah. And by the way, she loves you. I've not been in that chair once where there wasn't a significant Juliet Huddy discussion.
Oh, and you know what I love about Jen is that before the election, she was asking about, the Biden-Trump thing. And I don't want to talk about what her political leanings are, but
loves Trump. I'll say it.
we got into this, discussion, but it's so cool because when you have somebody who's passionate, she listened, she listened to what I had to say and I listened to what she had to say. And I just always appreciate that. It's not like this craziness where you have to attack everybody for having different opinions.
Agreed.
But anyway, got to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll have weather and some more headlines.
Entertaining and informative. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Thank you very much. From the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center, we're looking at a nice day. It'll be in the mid-70s and sunny tomorrow. also going to be really nice. 70 degrees, lots of sun as we head into Saturday. We're looking at the temperatures to cool off a bit. We'll get in the high 50s, maybe low 60s, but we'll have some clouds and sun, a mix of both. And on Sunday, 64 degrees and looking very sunny. Currently, the temperature in New York is 62 degrees. Here's a question. Is what's happening at the Mexican border a crisis? Well, yeah, according to the latest numbers, the answer is yes, at least in my opinion. New data shows border arrests hit their highest point since 1986, with more than 1.7 million migrants detained in the 2021 fiscal year. Earlier this week, Senator Ted Cruz introduced a bill that would move processing centers for illegal immigrants to places like Vermont, which is, of course, home to Bernie Sanders, and Martha's Vineyard, which is where the Obamas spend their summers. As Cruz put it, quote, where Democratic elites hold their cocktail parties. And this is a really not exactly an investment in solidarity and cooperation. Have a suicide vest. Take care of your family for life. No, this is not a twisted SNL skit, and it is not a story from The Onion. It is actually what's happening in real time in Afghanistan. The Taliban are reportedly promising riches to relatives of suicide bombers who attacked U.S. and Afghan soldiers. The country's new Interior Ministry spokesman tweeted Tuesday that his boss offered the reward to dozens of family members gathered at Kabul Hotel, praising them as martyrs and heroes of Islam and the country. This as the terror group tries to convince the world that they are a new and improved band of lunatics. And that oligarch whose D.C. home was raided this week didn't waste any time attacking the feds. Oleg Deripaska, who is an oil tycoon with ties to Russian President Vladimir Putin and Trump pal Steve Bannon, claims the home was abandoned, and he mocked investigators who he suggested found nothing but, quote, sour jam and vodka. He also broadened his taunts to attack America's U.S. foreign and domestic policy. No word yet on what the feds were looking for and what their reaction is to his taunts, but a 2020 Senate report targeted him as being one of the folks who interfered with the 2016 U.S. presidential election. Frank.
All right. Well, before we get to Sid Rosenberg, a couple other stories I want to bring to your attention. Jury selection in the trial of three men accused of murder in the death of Ahmaud Arbery is continuing to move along at a slow pace. The prospective jury pool is up to 15, with dozens more to go in Glynn County, Georgia. A number of jurors were disqualified yesterday after stating they'd already made up their minds that the defendants were guilty. Three men are charged with the murder of Arbery, who was shot to death while running through a Brunswick neighborhood last year. And Netflix remains at the center of controversy, with hundreds of workers walking out to protest Dave Chappelle's new stand-up special. The comedian sparked backlash this month with jokes some say are harmful to the LGBTQ community. Elliot Page, who came out as trans, is the latest star to show support.
Sid, let's just bring Sid in.
Yeah.
Sid needs, I hear the ranting and raving in the background.
Yeah,
Sid.
And assorted random sounds.
Oh, you got to wonder what goes, I mean, this is what he does in public life. You got to wonder in private life.
Don't wonder. I'm begging you. Not. Don't wonder.
It is inspiring proof, though. Inspiring proof of how far a man can go, even with Tourette's syndrome.
That's right. One of many things I probably suffer from. Well, we got a packed show today. It's a big day here at the station. It is, what are we calling this? Back to Blue.
Back to the Blue.
There you go. Right. So we've got all kinds of cops and former cops, starting with Lou Spagnola coming up at 7:25. Longtime Patterson cop. His father, Larry, was the chief of police in Patterson, but he's probably most famous for being Dolores Catania's brother. So he'll join us at 7:25.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. 7:40, we'll talk to former Commissioner Howard Schaefer. At 8:05, the former Chief of Department, Terrence Monahan, big guy in the force. Coming up at 8:40, not a cop, but great nevertheless, Bill O'Reilly. 9:05, we'll talk to former Chief Joe Esposito, and then two guests from Ramsey Mazda coming up at 9:25. So we will back the blue in a big way on today's Bernie and Sid show. Plus, the debate last night, Curtis and Eric Adams, and the Knicks start the season with a thrilling double overtime win against the Celtics at the Garden.
Back the blue and orange.
See what you did there?
Yep.
That's very, very good.
Absolutely.
So, big show coming up.
All right.
Well, good luck on that, Sid.
Well, thank you for that. Thank you.
Absolutely. All right. And now I will be, I'm told, moderating a police roundtable around noon that people can watch on WABCRadio.com.
Very nice.
I think our owner, John Catsimatidis, is going to be a part of as well. So
now, will you be taking a nap in between?
Yes, I will be, and enthusiastically.
Good for you. You need some rest. From the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center, we're looking at a sunny day, 75 degrees with low humidity. Tomorrow, as we start to ring in the weekend, we'll go down into the low 70s, but we will still have some sun and low humidity. Saturday, we're dipping down into the high 50s, still have that humidity, temperate. We will have some clouds and sun, probably clouds early in the morning and then partial clearing in the afternoon. And Sunday looks like another nice day, mid-60s, sunny with some clouds here and there. And the temperature currently in New York City is 62 degrees. It's pretty much stayed that way. Frank, my one more thing is to just say I look forward to getting, you know, in touch with you from some of the locations that I'm celebrating over in Florence and in Venice. I'll probably call you a few times, do a little maybe FaceTime or something like that.
Wonderful. That was going to be my one more thing as well. I hope you and John have a great trip. I'm going to miss you. And as much as I'm going to miss you, I have a feeling the listener is going to miss you even more. So I am hoping that you guys have a great trip and will send me a postcard. And I'll look forward to seeing you when we get back.
We don't do postcards. I'm not very good.
But there's some great ones out there. Italy has great postcards.
Yes, there are. But I'd rather maybe bring you something home. You know, it's just something nice and easy to transport.
Right. Well, have fun. I am going to miss you. Take care.
Miss you too. Bye.
The Bernie and Sid Show is next. It's Back the Blue Day here on WABC. All police, all the time.
Back the Blue.
I'll see you tomorrow.